Thank you, Harold and the choir. There's a story told of a young woman who ran out of gas one day. She was a pretty young lady. She ran out of gas one day. She was sitting on the side of the road. She didn't know what she was going to do. And a couple of guys stopped to help her out and came up to the window and knocked and said, "What's the problem?" She goes, "I'm out of gas. I need help." You can imagine her statement. And they said, well, being big strong boys that they were, they decided they would help. So they rolled up their sleeves and they said, "Put the car in neutral and we'll push you to a gas station." So they started pushing and they started pushing. And it was a day kind of like last Friday, real cool, comfortable, low humidity. Any of you go outside Friday at all? Yeah, okay. And she was being pushed, and they went a block. They went a second block. They get into the third block, and one of the guys pushing looks over his shoulder and says, "We just passed a gas station. Hey, we just passed a filling station. Why didn't you pull in there?" And she says, "Well, they don't have full service." Y'all get that? Okay. You know, sometimes that is a great example of how we live our lives in the Lord. We have been given so much. We've been blessed so many things. But we let fear run our lives. Her fear was what? There wouldn't be anybody there to fill up the gas tank. Well, she had a couple of boys on the hook pushing her that would have been more than happy to help her out with that little problem. And I wonder if sometimes we're not like that. I want to talk to you this morning about the high cost of fear, of letting fear run our lives. I'm going to invite you to take your Bible and turn to Matthew 25, to a passage that's probably a familiar story to most of us, one we've probably heard more than once, and probably read more than once. But as I was studying this week, getting ready for today, I discovered in this story a truth that I had not noticed before, at least not in this way. It is a story that Jesus was speaking to his followers about how God entrusts us with so much, and yet often we let fear get the better of us. So what I'm going to do this morning is, because it's a fairly lengthy passage, we're just going to look at each part as we work through it and to kind of take a look at the story and then kind of try to bring it back and do something with it at the end. The first thing I want you to notice out of this story is right there in verses 14 and 15, is that you and I, we have been entrusted, and you could even write with much, by the Master. We've been given a lot as Americans, but even more than that, as followers of Jesus. We've been entrusted with a lot. Look at the passage. The story is told, there was a man, for it would be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted to them not their property, but what? His property. He says, "I'm going to entrust to you this." And so to one, he gave 5 talents. To another, he gave 2. And to another, 1. To each according to his ability. Then he went away. You know, this parable opens, and it's a story of a man who's about to go on a journey, and he decides he's going to entrust to his followers, his servants, his men, his people, a certain number of talents. Now, I had read this story. I've heard this story as a kid. I've heard it as an adult. I've heard it again and again and again, just like you probably have, and you think, yeah, what, 5 talents? What's that, about $10? It's actually quite a bit. I was doing a little research, and scholars kind of all over the map, because that's kind of, I think that's the definition of scholar, all over the map. You know, they all come up with different ideas. But several of them came back and calculated if you had a talent in that day, it equaled to about this much money. And kind of the equation turns out to be this. If you had 5 talents, it was roughly equivalent to 20 years of an average day laborer's paycheck. And you're going, 20 years. Imagine with me, somebody decided to walk up and give you 20 years of your paychecks at once. Hey, Anybody game? I don't have the ability to write you a check, so I can't help you today. But the idea that you could have that. So look at the story again. The guy that has five talents has just been given roughly equivalent to 20 years' paychecks. The guy that has been given two has been given roughly 8 years of paychecks. And the one who has one has just got 4 years of paychecks. I don't know about you. I'd be happy to be any one of those three guys, wouldn't you? Somebody hands you a stack of paychecks and says, this is yours. It's actually mine, and I'm entrusting it to you to do something with it. And so here's what I want you to see from this passage is you and I, the point he's making is this. We have been entrusted with a whole lot. We have been given, as followers of the Master, a whole lot. Now, some of you would say, but I don't have five talents. I don't have two talents. I just have one talent. If you're a child of God, a follower of God, you've been given talent. You've been entrusted with something from God. He says, here, I'm going to give this to you. I'm going to place it within you. I'm going to put it in your life, and you've got it. You've been entrusted by the Master. By the Master himself, he has entrusted you with something. And there's not a one of these three that could say, well, I didn't get anything. They did. And they got a lot. And I want you to see that. They got a lot, and they were entrusted to them a lot. So we've been entrusted by the Master. The second thing I want you to notice is in verses 16 and 18, 17 and 18, that we have a choice about our pathway. We have a choice about what we do with what we've been entrusted with what we've been entrusted. So look at verse 16. Excuse me, my voice is a little rough this morning, so bear with me. Verse 16, he who had received the five talents went at once, and look what he does with the five talents. He traded with them. He put them to work, and he got five more. So also he who had two talents made two talents more. But he who had received the one talent went and dug in the ground and hid not his money, but his master's money. Now notice what's going on here. Whether you get 20 years of wages, 8 years of wages, or 4 years of wages, this is probably, for these individuals, the biggest payout they would ever receive in life. The largest stack of income they would ever see in life. And the question isn't, is it big enough? Which one's bigger? We understand that one's bigger than the other, one's smaller than the other, one's in between. We get that. But the question is this, what are you going to do with what you've been entrusted? And that's the question that these individuals have to deal with. Would they take what they've been given and use it for good? Or would they fritter away the opportunity they've been given in the end? We find the answer pretty quickly here as each of these servants do something with him. Apparently, the first two take bold steps to increase what they've been given. You know, we're not told what they did to increase the resources. You notice that? We're not told, well, one of them opened a falafel stand and the other opened a souvenir shop for all the tourists coming to the Middle East. We don't see that, okay? All we know is that they were entrusted and they took what they had and they did something with it to increase what they had. They made a choice. But don't miss the third guy. He also what? Made a choice. He made a choice to do this, to take what he'd been given, take what he'd been entrusted, and do what with it? Dig a hole, stick it in the ground. That's an interesting choice. It's a safe choice. It's a very, dare I say, conservative choice, but is it the right choice? He takes what he has, and instead of moving forward with the reality of a man who has been entrusted with 4 years of wages, don't let the one talent seem to be nothing, because it's not. It's a lot. He's got a lot in his hands. And instead of doing something with it to make a difference, he takes it and digs a hole and buries it in the ground where it does nothing. So what do we do with this? Let's come on down to verse 19. There's a promise that the master's going to return. That was implied in the beginning of this story, but it comes explicit here. Verse 19 says this, now after a long time, how long? A long time. How long is that? A long time. We don't know. Just a long time. The master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who received the 5 talents came forward and brought 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I've made 5 talents more. And the master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And the two talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew that you were to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was, don't miss this, I was afraid. Afraid. Wait, why weren't the other 2 guys afraid? We don't know. But we do know this guy was afraid. And so he says, so I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. And some of you might say, well, that was a pretty good plan. He didn't lose anything. He didn't risk anything. Here he is in a good shape. He's got the 1 talent. He brings it back, gives it to the master. The master still got the 1 talent. Everything's good, right? Hang on to that thought, because here's what I want you to notice. Both the servants who have been entrusted with either 5 or 2 talents have taken a step of faith to increase what they had been given. The one who started with 5 talents ends up with 10. The one who started out with 2 has 4. And the one who started out with 1 ends up with just 1. These first 2 talents have taken some, servants have taken some risk. And we don't know again what they did. Did they invest in a business? Did they put it into the bank somewhere? I'd love to find a bank somewhere that paid that kind of interest, wouldn't you? To double my income like that. That'd be great. Not around today. But what you see is the master had told them, I'm coming again. I'm going to, I want you to take this and do something with it. Do something different with it. Make a difference in life. But notice the outcome of the third servant, because that's the one I want you to focus on this morning. The one who'd been entrusted with just 1 talent, a mere what? 4 years of wages. I don't care if you make $50 a week or $1,000 a week or $100,000 a week. That's a lot of money to the individual who just received it. It may not be as much as the neighbor next to you, but to you, it's a lot. Catch this. But notice the outcome of the third servant. Look at what he said at the end of verse 24 and 25. Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid. He let fear drive his life. Please catch the depths of what this man who had been entrusted with about 4 years of wages had done. He had taken that resource. We don't know what the form looked like. We don't know if it was like in coins. We don't know if it was in bills. We don't know if it was in goods. Regardless, 4 years of wages for the average laborer. He took it, dug a hole, stuck it in the ground, covered it up, and didn't do anything with it. Because he was afraid. The high cost of fear. What he had done was let fear drive his life. What a sad state of affairs when fear runs the life of anybody, but especially one who's been entrusted with talents from the master. Each of these servants knew the day was coming, the master would return. Each of these servants knew there was coming a day of accounting for what they had been given and what they'd been entrusted to. But one of these servants would face a different day of reckoning than the others, for the day was indeed coming when the master will come again. So what is the reward? We have a reward to reap. And we didn't catch this on the slide, but it really ought to be in quotes, reward. Sometimes a reward is not really a reward, and I want you to catch this. Look at verse 26. But his master answered him, good job. Way to bury this thing I gave you and hide it. That's not what he said. His master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew, get this, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own, at least with interest. And here comes the reward. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And he cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness, into that place that there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So with the inspection done, the reports come along. There's a couple of different versions of this story in the New Testament. They all end the same way. The poor servant who had been only given only four years of wages. Come on, y'all with me? Only 4 years of wages. But chose, because he let fear run his life, to do nothing with what he'd been given, ends up in the end losing what he'd been given. We might be tempted to say, but he was real conservative. He was real frugal. He was really wise. He took care of what he'd been in. No. Not in Jesus' day, not in our day. Jesus was not complimentary at all. He'd been entrusted with a great and valuable resource to which the master expected him to do something amazing and good with it. And what he did was stick it in the ground. He could have at least made some difference, but instead he took what he'd been given and hoarded it and held on to it and was no blessing to anyone at all. And there was a consequence to that. So what do we do with this? A couple of quick thoughts. And I want you to know, I want to be as encouraging as I can here, but also to challenge us with the reality of where we live. Y'all, we live in a culture that is the wealthiest culture on planet Earth. The poorest in our culture do pretty well compared to the world. And I would dare say that most of us in this room are really, really blessed financially, but also spiritually. And so what we need to grasp is first of all this: God has given you much. Some of you might say, well, I'm probably like that guy. I got one talent. I would dare say that most of you are like that poor guy that's got 5 talents, okay? Many of you are like the guy that's got 2 talents. There's very few of you in this room that only got one. Some of you say, well, but I don't have as much as he's got. That may be true, but you got more than 90% of the people on planet Earth have, just like I do. God has given us much in resources. We have plentiful food resources in our culture. We have clean air for the most part, clean water for the most part. We have freedom. We have safety within our borders. We're blessed. And this is doubly true of us who live in this land. We have a lot. Yeah, we have problems we need to solve. Yeah, we have issues we need to deal with. That's not the point. We have been given much. The story is told of a man who lived as a drunk in the slums of Chicago. If you can imagine, I wouldn't want to live in Chicago. One, I surely wouldn't want to be a drunk in the slums of Chicago. But this is the guy's life he lived. And one night, his life was really tough and things were not going well and it was cold. And so he came to a mission and to find a place to stay the night out of the cold. And he gets to that place, he gets a meal, he gets to hear a message because that was kind of the way the mission worked. And then he got a bed, which was pretty amazing. And he went to bed. But that was his last night on earth. He died a poverty-stricken, friendless man who never saw the next day. What he didn't know was this. He had an inheritance. There'd been an attorney in London trying to find him for years, but because he had no address, they could not find him. He had an inheritance of $4 million waiting for him. If all they had to do was find him, he had every resource he could use. Friends, that is so much a description of you and me. You're probably saying, I'll give my number to the attorney in London. Wait a second, you went too far down the illustration. As a child of God, you have a king who has more resources than you can imagine that wants to entrust in your life and has already entrusted in your life. You, my friends, have been given much. You have been given a double measure, I would even say. We are blessed to live in the land of the free, right? We live in a nation of safety and security for the most part. We also, as children of God, can say, I've been given the gift of eternal life and salvation and the blessing of a relationship with God. We've been blessed. We've been given much. Do y'all see that? We have a lot. As I said a moment ago, I don't think most of us have got one talent. We've got two and five and more. God has given us much. So use what you got. Number two, use what you got. I wonder how often we are like the servant with one talent. Though we look around and go, well, but he's got five talents and she's got two talents and they've got four talents and he's got three talents and they've got more than we. Whoa, stop. God has blessed you and me with so much. So maybe we ought to take what we've got and put it into practice. Put it into work. I always find it interesting. You know, they sell, I'm not a gardener. I can grow grass. Actually, I can grow weeds real well. But you get these packages of seeds. It's always amazing to me. You get a package of seeds, you open it up and you're going to go, what's in there? You know, I got a package of seeds that I've carried around now. They're probably not any good anymore. They're so old. The tomato seeds. You ever look at a tomato seed? Tomato seeds are huge, right? They're massive. They're big. They look like a tomato. No. They're tiny little things, and you put them in the ground, and you go, hey, nothing coming out of the ground there. And at my house, that's the truth, okay? I'm just telling you. They don't grow. I can kill a tomato plant faster than anybody. I think that's my gift. But normally, you put a tomato seed in the ground or a corn seed in the ground, and what comes up? A little plant. Somebody told me, I was reading somewhere, that a productive corn stalk, you take one seed, put it in the ground, and somehow it produces a corn stalk, which is amazing in and of itself. And on that corn stalk, there's a number of ears of corn, right? Supposed to be. How many are normally on a stalk? A couple? Two or three, maybe, I hear. And on each corn ear, there's up to about 700 seeds out of one little seed. Friends, don't sit there and say, I don't have it. I don't have what I need. How about stop it and saying, God's given me much, so I'm going to use what I've got in the kingdom of God to make a difference. Use what you have, not what you don't. And how do we do that? And this is the point of the message. So if you haven't been listening, tune back in for a moment. Don't let fear win. Since God has given you so much, and really the decision is up to you how you're going to use what you've been given, how do we get moving? This is where fear has to be tamed. Do you remember the story of Peter? There's lots of story of Peter, but Peter's story, they were on a boat rowing across the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus came walking by on the water. Wouldn't that be so cool to walk on water? I'm thinking that'd be just amazing. Just take off, walk across the lake. You remember what happened in the story? Jesus said to Peter, hey, come on out here. I ain't getting out of this boat. But that's most of us, right? But Peter stepped out. You remember that? Peter stepped out of the boat. And do you remember what was really amazing about that? That is what? Peter stepped out of the boat, and what happened? He sank, right? Hello? No, he didn't sink. He started walking on water. Wow. Until Jesus said, I'm not going to let you walk on water anymore. You're done. Sorry, stop. Is that what happened? The guy, Peter, started looking around going, let me paraphrase. Dude, I'm walking on water. And then he saw the waves. What did he do in that moment? He took his eyes. Are y'all getting this? Took his eyes off Jesus and looked at his circumstance and let fear win. You know the story. He sank to the bottom of the ocean, of the lake. Boom, gone. No, he didn't die, but he started sinking, didn't he? That's where so many of us are, friends. We've been blessed with immeasurable gifts. We've been entrusted with so many amazing things by our Master. Our Master loves us. He cares for us. He's given us great things, and we hold them and go, yeah, but it's only a little bit, so I better stick it in the ground and hang on to it. And we let fear win. Some of you let fear win in your jobs. Some of you let fear win in your school. Some of you are heading off to college this fall. You're going, I don't know if I can, I'm afraid. Don't let fear win. Some of us in our church lives, we let fear win. We go, oh, it's just bad, it's bad, it's terrible. We almost sound like Chicken Little sometimes, don't we? The sky's falling. Let me remind you, we serve a God who owns what? The cattle on a thousand hills, as we like to say. Let's believe that and not let fear win in our lives. Here's the challenge, my friend. Take what God has given you and set it free. And you'll see amazing things happen in your life, if you will. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, your peace. The reality that you even entrust us with anything is pretty amazing. But Father, we're here this morning to confess that we thank you for entrusting to us part of your kingdom. And we want to live our lives in such a way that you're blessed. Father, I pray for those in this place who maybe have never trusted you personally. They don't have a gift from you yet, but they want it. I pray that you would let them see this morning that you have an amazing gift of salvation for them. And that, Father, all they have to do is reach out and receive it from you. Father, for many of us in this room, it's not that. We trusted you in salvation, but God, somewhere along the way, we've taken what you've given us and we dug a hole and stuck it in the ground. And we're not letting faith lead us, we're letting fear. So Father, if we're in that situation this morning, we confess to you, God, that we've been letting fear run our lives, but Father, no more. We're going to trust you. We're going to let you lead us by faith. We're going to let you lead us to be the people you want us to be by faith. We don't want to look at the waves. We want to look at Jesus. Father, I pray for others who need to make different types of decisions, some to recommit to you, some to connect to a local body of believers, some to follow you in service in the kingdom. We pray your hand to be free in these few moments, that we would do what you're leading us to do and only what you're leading us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.